Praise the Lord. We were here around the church here yesterday evening during the prayer meeting time. And during that time, the Lord talking to me about limiting God. Limiting God. That verse came to my mind. I wasn't sure exactly where it was at, but I knew it was in the Old Testament. It's in Psalm 78, and it's verse 41. But I want to read Psalm 78, verse 35. Through 41. Now the Lord's not through in this service yet. He's not through yet. He still wants to move, and he'll move around these altars if we'll forget about 12 o'clock and we'll get our minds on what the Lord wants to do today. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. They knew who he was, but their relationship with God was limited to just a profession, just words. Didn't go any further than that. It was only words. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. This psalm is talking about the experience of those spies when they went in and they viewed the giants, and they came back, and the Bible says they gave, the 10 spies, they gave an evil report. And the scripture says that their response was that we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and thus they saw us that way as well. Because we saw ourselves as weak, then they saw us also as weak. Is it possible to limit God? To limit the Holy One of Israel? Is it possible that we do that? Well, this text says that the children of Israel, through their rebellion and their unbelief, that they limited God. Now, it's kind of curious when you think about it, because we all know that God can do anything, and he's all powerful and almighty. But here it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. And the word there literally means that they marked out a boundary. They marked out a boundary and said, this is what God can do. This is what he can do. They marked out a boundary. They limited God and said, God can work within this, our concept of what God can do. They limited God to their own, what they believed about God, or what they had seen God do, or what they could see at that situation that they were in at that time. They set a mark or a boundary. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Is it possible that as Christian people, as Pentecostals, as the people of God, that we could limit God? Oh, yes. We can do just like the children of Israel did. We can limit the Holy One of Israel. How do we do that? How is it possible? Well, let me just mention a few things. Number one, we limit God because we forget about the way that God works in this world. We forget that God has chosen to work and to use people. He's called men and he's called women. And he has chosen to work through people. That's the plan of God. And so since God has chosen, we know that God can do anything, but a part of his plan and his program is to work through individuals like you and me. Amen. And whenever we limit God, whenever we put boundaries up and say, God can only work in this way or in this situation or in this circumstance, then we are limiting God. Whenever God wants to do something in this world, he raises up a man or a woman of God. Amen. When God wants to move in this world, He raises up somebody that'll yield themselves to the Lord to such a degree that they'll be a vessel that He can pour Himself through them. You can see this all through the Word of God. And Brother Bright this morning in Sunday school talked about some of these people, such as Esther, that she was brought into the kingdom for such a time as this, that she's made herself available to God to be used of God in a heathen land, and even put her life in danger because she yielded herself to be a vessel in that situation. The name of the Lord was glorified and a whole nation was preserved because she was willing to let God work in her life and through her life. Abraham is another example who became the father of a great nation. It was only because God saw him and saw his faith, and that his heart was after God, and that he was a man that would let God use him. Abraham is an example. Noah is another example. A man who was a righteous man, a preacher of righteousness. He built an ark to the saving of his house, and God used Noah for his generation to be a man of God. And God worked in that generation through him. And that's how God works. We limit God because we sit back and we think, God, why don't you stop this problem? God, why don't you work in this situation? And we just sit back, and sometimes we even pray and say, Lord, I wish you'd do this, or I wish you would do that. It's like we're ordering God around. And all the time God has given to every one of us as believers, He's called us to be the vessel. He's called us to be the vehicle, the person that is filled with the Spirit of God and full of faith and moving forward doing what the Lord wants us to do. God works through the instrumentality of people, men and women and young people and people of all classes in life. God uses people, and we limit God when we forget about the fact that God has chosen to do His work in this world through people. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. He's looking for a vessel that He can work in. He's not run out of power. He's run out of people. He's run out of dedicated people. He's run out of people that have made themselves available to God. His power is unlimited. There's no limit to what He can do. He's looking for preachers and Sunday school teachers and fathers and mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers. And He's looking for every one of us that will just yield ourselves to Him and be filled up with the things of God. Give ourselves completely to the Lord. A wonderful verse of scripture is 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why is God searching the earth? Why is his eyes searching and looking all throughout the earth? Why, Bill? The scripture says because He wants to show Himself strong. He wants His power to be manifested in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. He wants to manifest His power. So He's looking for men. He's looking for women. He's looking for people like you and me that will make ourselves available to God. Amen. All the time we're waiting on a move of God, and God is saying, I want you to make yourself available to me because I want to move through you. Every move of God in the scripture, every move of God that you can read about in the history of the church, every revival, there was a revivalist. There was someone who lit the fire. There was someone that prayed it down and prayed it through. There was someone filled with the Holy Ghost. There was someone anointed of God. There was a vessel that God had got complete control of them and began to use them to manifest His mighty power. That's what D.L. Moody said and prayed that prayer. He said, the world is yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to Him. His prayer was, I will try my utmost to be that man. And in all of his efforts to be a man of God, that's the reason why that God took a man who didn't necessarily have great speaking ability, was limited in many, many ways, but he was wholly given to the work of God and to the call of God. And a generation was affected by his ministry because he gave himself wholly to the Lord. Amen. We limit the Holy One of Israel because we forget about the fact that God works through people like you and me. Amen. Too often we think about revival and we say, well, if that person would get on fire for God, we might have revival. Or if that one would get prayed through, we might see God really move in our church. And we are pointing our fingers at different ones and say, if this would happen or that would happen. But all the while, the God who cares about you and loves you, He's calling you. His call is upon you. You be that person. You be that one filled with the Spirit and used of God. You be the vessel that God uses. Amen. God works through the instrumentality of men and women, people. Amen. When He's wanting to work in this world, He calls a Daniel. He calls a Samuel. He calls a David. He calls a prophet. He calls a John the Baptist. He calls an Apostle Peter, an Apostle Paul. And God's wanting to do a work in this world. He raises up men and women of God who will be filled with the Spirit and will be a vessel that God can use. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what He's wanting to do this morning. We're limiting God because we're not giving very much of ourselves to God. We feel pretty good about it because we give Him an hour or two a week, come to church, and we may have a little prayer time or a little time in the Word of God, but we're limiting God. We're limiting God because God wants all of us. He wants us to give ourselves to Him completely. He wants our life to be consumed with His purpose and with His will. He wants our life to be consumed with His purpose and His plan for our life. And we're limiting God, the Holy One of Israel, just like they did. Oh, Caleb, he jumped up whenever those spies brought that evil report. Caleb jumped up and said, we're well able to go in. We're well able to go in. And he said that they are as bread to us. A modern translation was, this is a piece of cake. This is nothing. This is easy. It's no problem. And he said that God has already removed their defenses. They don't even have any defense against us. And that's what Caleb saw. He saw through the eyes of faith. He believed God. He wasn't limiting God. He didn't have God within a certain confine of certain perimeter or certain boundaries. He knew that God was able to help them and that they could go in and that it was easy. It was a piece of cake to go in and to take this promised land. But it was the unbelief of the rest of them. It was the unbelief of those spies that melted the hearts of the children of Israel. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And so did their enemies see them just like that. When you see yourself as defeated and as hopeless, God could never use me. God could never work in my life. I don't have anything to offer to the Lord. I'm weak and I don't have any gifts or talents. You see yourself as a person that God can't use, and your enemy is going to see that and he's going to jump on that. And he's going to use that to destroy you and destroy your potential in God. What you need to do is to see through the eyes of faith what God can do. You need to see the purpose of God and the plan of God and to see what God can do through a vessel that has prepared himself to be used of the Lord. Amen. Number one, if you are going to limit God, if you're limiting God, it's probably because you've forgotten, or at least you've neglected the fact that God works through people. Hallelujah. Another way that we limit God is we fail to prepare ourselves to be used. We do not prepare ourselves for usefulness in the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and these are the words of the Apostle Paul, who's instructing young Timothy, because he's shaping him to be used of the Lord. He said, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, useful to the master, and prepared unto every good work. Amen. Useful to the master. Sanctified, set apart for the cause of God, and useful to God, and being prepared and trained and shaped to be that person that God can use. Amen. Amen. That should be our prayer more than anything. Lord, I want to be used of you. So Lord, you shape me and you mold me and you make me and help me to be willing, Lord, to set aside everything else that seems important in this life and to set my focus upon the Lord and the things of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you want to be used of the Lord, then you need to allow the Lord to shape you and make you into a vessel that can be used of God. God's still looking for men and women who are full of faith and have been sanctified and are ready to be used of the Lord. You know, you cannot be used of God if your vessel is filled up with everything that this world has to offer. Your life and your time is consumed with everything except for the things of God. It's consumed with everything. That's one of the things that prayer with fasting does to you. It reminds you and it refocuses you. It's very challenging to the flesh, but it does help to focus your mind and your attention upon the fact that God is really what is important. The things of God, the Word of God, this is what really is important. So let the Lord shape you and make you. Isaiah 59 and verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. We don't have a problem with a God that can't solve our problems. We do not have a God that is weak. We do not have a God that is insufficient. We do not have a God that has no power in our predicament that we're in. We do not. Verse 2 says, here's the key. Here's the problem. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. What is it that God is calling us to? He's calling us to purging ourselves, sanctifying ourselves, our mind, our spirit, our life, our language, our lifestyle. To fill up our time with the things of God and be consumed with the purpose of God in our life and becoming a vessel that God can use. You say, well, the Lord uses me. No doubt he has. Through his mercy and his goodness, he's used many of us. But just think about it, really. How much of yourself are you truly giving to God? If God has done what he's done through you with as little as you've given to God, just think about it. What could happen if you would give your all? Just think about what could happen if you would just give yourself completely to the Lord and to seek after the Lord with your whole heart. Another verse that deals with this same subject is Jeremiah chapter 5. But this people have a revolting and rebellious heart, and they are revolted and gone astray. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain before the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Have you read that verse before? It's talking about the harvest. And he said, the harvest, you're not going to have the harvest. God's going to withhold these good things from you because you have not separated yourself. You have not sanctified yourself. You haven't made yourself available to God. You know, a lot of folks, you know, we can pride ourselves in what we are. And we say, I'm a good person. I'm a moral person and I do good for people. And you can just list off all the wonderful qualities that you are. But the fact remains, you may have these good qualities and characteristics in your life, but have you given yourself totally to God? Can you say, yes, I have? I doubt that very many, if any, in this service this morning can really honestly say, I've given my all to the Lord. I give my all to you, Lord. I'm yours for whatever that you want to do with my life. And whenever you're willing to give more and more of yourself to the Lord and prepare yourself, then you become a vessel of honor, a vessel meet for the Master's use, a vessel that's useful to God, a vessel that God can pour his spirit in you and then through you to touch the lives of people. Quite frankly, if whatever we do in the work of the Lord, whatever that it might be, if it's not by the Spirit of God, then it's nothing. It's nothing. It's not going to get anything done in the realm of the kingdom of God. This is a spiritual realm. So all of our fleshly efforts, all the things that we do, and God help us, we can point our fingers at other churches and say, oh, they just put on a show at their church and they just go through, the routine of some performance in their church. We can point our fingers at other people, and all the while, here we are in this Pentecostal church. Here we are in this holiness church, and all we're doing is just going through our routine. It's just as fleshly. It's just as carnal. It doesn't require any thought. It doesn't require any purpose, any plan. And we're just doing what we do without the move of God and the flow of the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen. Every teacher, every worker, every one of us, whatever we do, the preaching of the Word of God, all these things, you know, we can sermonize from the pulpit, and that's fine. Sermonizing doesn't get very far. People need to hear a word from God. They need to know that it's God speaking, that it's from His Word, and it's going to have a life-changing effect upon the lives of people. We need to hear the voice of God, and we're limiting God because we forget that God works through people, and we limit God because we've not made ourselves available to Him to be used of the Lord. Amen. And then we limit the Lord because we're seeing everything in our life. We're seeing it from our own perspective instead of from God's perspective. That was the problem. That's the reason that Caleb, even in his years, was able to step up there and be the minority and say, "This is not a problem. Their defenses have already been removed. This is a piece of bread. This is nothing. We can go in. We are well able. We can do this by the power of the Spirit of God." How could he say that? He was seeing something else the rest of them was not seeing. All the rest of them, they were seeing the high walls, and they were seeing the giants, and they were seeing the impossibilities. But Caleb was seeing the hand of God. Caleb was seeing what God can do and His mighty power. Caleb was seeing no limit. No limitation to what God can do. That's the reason that he could stand up and say what he did. I mean, the Bible says that they, not only did they not accept what he had to say, but they rose up, they wanted to stone him. They wanted to stone him to death. And God came against them with vengeance to destroy them. But God showed mercy. Moses cried out and asked for mercy for the people of God. And God preserved their life. But he told them, "You're going to go back into the wilderness, back into the desert, and you're going to die. And that your bodies, your carcasses are going to be in the desert. You're going to die. And not one of you are going to enter into the promise of God." Their unbelief destroyed their future. It destroyed the possibility of them entering in to the wonderful promises of God. God, help us to see from His perspective. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, you get filled up with the Word of God, and you get filled up with the Spirit of God. Amen. We talked about this Wednesday night. We have our five natural physical senses, but in the realm of the Spirit, there's a sixth sense, and that is a spiritual sense, and it's faith. Faith. The ability to see what no one else can see. To be able to see through the eyes of faith and to see that God can do wonderful and mighty things, and there's no limitation to His might and to His power. They saw themselves as grasshoppers, and so they were. They were, there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Amen. It is important what and how that you see. Amen. Let me tell you, if you'll spend some time in the presence of God, you'll see things that you don't see in the flesh. Amen. You sacrifice a few meals, and you'll start seeing things that you don't normally see. Amen. I don't necessarily mean visions or things of that sort, although that's a possibility. I mean, you begin to see your life and this world from a completely different perspective. You begin to see it from the perspective of God's power and God's promises, what He has said that He will do, and that the unlimited resource that we have in our God. And we begin to put our complete and our complete trust in a God that can do anything. Ephesians chapter 3, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, how according to the power that worketh in us." Amen. That's how this great source of power is manifested in this world. According to the power that works in you and in me. And as God is working in us, then there's an unlimited power. Amen. We're limiting the Holy One of Israel. We're limiting God because we forget about the fact that if God moves at First Pentecostal Church, there's going to have to be a preacher and a deacon and a song leader and a Sunday school teacher and a mother and a father. They're going to have to be a people filled with the Spirit of God and anointed of the Spirit of God. Otherwise, we are limiting the Holy One of Israel. We're limiting God. God's going to work in you, and He wants to work in me if we'll make ourselves available to Him as a vessel. And then we spend time in His presence, and then we see things from a divine perspective. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. We recognize our own frailty, our own weakness, and we don't have anything to offer. Amen. Amen. There's a warning in the scripture about touching the glory of God, touching the anointing, touching the presence of God. That this anointing is to rest in our lives, but it's not, you know, we're not to touch the anointing. We're not to take credit for the things that are going on. And when God moves and God works, it needs to be all glory to God, that God has done it and God is working and God is moving. Amen. His power may be of God and not of us. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord wants to stir our hearts here this morning, that we could see that there's some great things that He wants to do. But we must not draw a boundary and say, this is what God can do. This is what the Lord can do. We don't even have a concept unless we're in the Spirit of what the Lord is wanting to do among us. But the closer you get to God and the more that you walk in the Spirit, the more you begin to see, oh, good things, great things, mighty things. The children of Israel, their harvest was taken away from them. And the scripture said that all those good things were removed from them because they would not put their trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Amen. How do you see yourself? How do you see your circumstance? How do you see your life, your problems and your troubles? Are you seeing it from the lowly perspective of a grasshopper? You need to get up out of that lowly position, and you need to move up higher into the presence of God. You need to get closer to the Lord and spend time with the Lord and spend time in His Word and let God do a work in you and help you to see what you can't see otherwise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalm 78 is a psalm written about the children of Israel and the rebellion and their refusal to enter in to the promised land. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Because of that, they went back into the wilderness. And all that generation died. And there had to come another generation. The only family of that previous generation was those of Joshua and Caleb. They entered in because they saw the promised land and they saw it as their possession all those years before. And so they and their generation and their children and their families marched in to take the promised land 40 years later. But that whole generation died in the wilderness in their unbelief. What a sad and a horrible thing it is to think that we could be in the house of God. We could be raised up in church and know about the things of God, know the Word, know the power of God, but never experience it in our own lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Glory to God. Amen. The question this morning is, and this altar service is not, what is somebody else doing or that brother or that sister doing? This is for you, directed to you personally. Are you limiting God? Are you limiting the Holy One of Israel? Have you just given Him a little part of your life? Is that what you've done? If you've just given Him just a small little portion of your life, that's not enough. He wants you to be a prepared vessel. A vessel that can be used of God. Hallelujah. A vessel that He can pour His Spirit in you and then through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wonderful, mighty things that God can do through a person who's wholly given himself to God. Will you be that kind of a person? Moody said, yes, I will. And he touched his generation. Others have given themselves to God to a great degree. And as a result of that, they've touched many. Their lives have been powerful to touch so many. Hallelujah. Would you like to make yourself available to the Lord? I'd like to make this altar service this morning a time when every individual in this service can come. And if you would, just come and stand with me across the front of this building. And if you're willing to say yes to the Lord, you're really honest about it, then ask Him to prepare you. Ask Him to work in you, to purge you, to sanctify you, to use you, to make you a vessel of honor that can be used of God, and that you'll make yourself available to the Lord. Would you come? I'm just asking you to stand here across the front of this building, because I want you to be able just to lift your head and your hands up toward God. Complete and total surrender to Him. This is a generation that needs men and women of God. This is a generation that needs a church that won't limit God, that we'll throw off the limitations and we'll make ourselves available to God for whatever it is He wants to do. So as a personal cry and as a personal prayer here this morning around this altar, would you be willing to let God by His Spirit to work in you, to sanctify you, to prepare you and to fill you so that you can be used of God for this generation? Oh, you cannot be worth anything to God unless you make yourself available to Him and you are filled with the Spirit of God. That's the only value in your life. That's the only thing that will make any difference in these days. Are you a person of the Spirit?